Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, January the 8th. It's New Hampshire primary day, and we'll give you a chance to vote this hour, too. Plus, we'll wonder if you have thoughts or questions about the changing nature of the presidential race. On the Democratic side, Barack Obama has surged ahead of Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire in the polls. Is his upward movement unstoppable now? Is Hillary Clinton's campaign in big trouble? Would a loss in New Hampshire be the end of her quest? What does she have to do now to convince voters to choose her over Obama? Did her emotional response to a New Hampshire voter's question yesterday make any difference to you when she said, almost in tears, "Some of us are right, some of us are wrong, some of us are ready, some of us are not"? On the Republican side, has John McCain revived his campaign enough to bring him a win in New Hampshire? Is he here for the long run now? Is it Mitt Romney's campaign that's now on life support? If you were voting in the New Hampshire primary today, who would get your vote and why? Or what questions do you have for our guest analyst? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. That's toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Chapman Rackaway, an assistant professor of political science at Fort Hays University. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Nice to be back.
Yeah, nice to have you with us again. So a big turnout is expected in New Hampshire today. I guess a nice mild weather in New Hampshire. Is that going to influence the outcome of this in any way?
Well, the weather certainly doesn't deter anyone from going out, and the almost constant reminder that there's a primary coming, all of the candidates with their robocalls and going out on street corners and traveling around different events, those don't hurt reminding voters either, and along with the incentive that the campaigns naturally have to try to push turnout high in a primary, combined say that we should have maybe some record turnout in New Hampshire, which is to say that we'll be pushing 25%, but still probably going to be record turnout there.
Professor Rackaway, I'm going to ask Karen Prager to try to reestablish our telephone connection with you. It's very hard to understand every word you're saying, though we're picking up every other one. And while she does that, let me remind listeners that any questions you have about the presidential race and the New Hampshire primary are welcome. But we're also asking you and giving you a chance to state your preference for president during this hour. You get to vote today, as well as the New Hampshire voters. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. And while we try to reestablish contact with Professor Rackaway, let me tell you about the early results in New Hampshire. A couple of villages voted at midnight last night. It says here in Dixville Notch, Barack Obama won 7 of the 10 Democratic ballots, with former North Carolina Senator John Edwards getting 2 and New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson getting 1. So Hillary Clinton did not even get 1 vote in the village of Dixville Notch. On the Republican side, John McCain won 4 of the 7 Republican votes. Mitt Romney won 2, and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani got 1 vote. So is this a precursor of things to come? Is this going to be an Obama McCain win in New Hampshire? 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up on 16 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 8th. We're talking about the New Hampshire primary during this hour. and where this race for president goes from here. More talk about voting and politics coming up after 9 o'clock with Kathleen Dunn after 9, and also Talk of the Nation, and also during At Issue with Ben Marins. Also on Point for that matter. So talk about politics pretty much all day long here on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Chapman Rackaway, an assistant professor of political science at Fort Hays State University. And while we were getting you back online, Professor Rackaway, I was looking at the early results from New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. These early villages that vote at midnight, and it's Obama and McCain. Is that a precursor of things to come?
It certainly looks that way. That's consistent with what the polls have been saying. Although oftentimes what will happen is that when the absentee votes come in early, local county clerks will compile that data and submit that. So that can often be very, very consistent with polls. So you have to wait a little bit later to really know, but it certainly makes sense whether or not it's going to be the case or not. Some of the polls, the ones that I put a little bit more faith in than others, have the lead for Obama on Senator Clinton, for instance, to be within the margin of error. I mean, it's basically too close to call, even if he does have a lead. Mm-hmm. So it's neck and neck between Obama and Clinton now. Either one of them coming out of New Hampshire a winner would not be a surprise at all. McCain's the fascinating case because his campaign has been strong, strong, strong in New Hampshire. He's got a big lead in almost any poll that you look at. The smallest lead that he has is 5 points outside the margin of error, meaning that it would be a real surprise if McCain didn't win New Hampshire now. And remember that 6-7 months ago, I called his Straight Talk Express the Free Fall Express because it looked like the campaign was in the most dire of straits. So New Hampshire looks like it's spawning another comeback kid this year.
Yeah. Let's start taking some calls. Karen in Platteville. Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, this is how I feel about the Democratic candidates. Clinton voted for Iraq, so that leaves her out. And as a Vietnam-era vet who served for 5 years on active duty, Barack Obama reminds me of Kennedy, who attempted to use Cubans to invade that island and then sent 10,000 advisors to South Vietnam without congressional approval. And Richardson, you know, my question is, what is his position on nuclear power? As I lived close to Diablo Nuclear Power Plant in California for 25 years. And so I think I'm supporting Edwards because at least he apologized for voting for giving Bush the ability to go to war with Iraq. Mm. That's where I'm at.
All right. Thank you, Karen. I asked listeners to go ahead and state who they supported if they were voting in the New Hampshire primary today. What about Edwards? What does he look like in New Hampshire, Professor Rackaway?
Well, in New Hampshire, he's languishing in third. But if you look at the Edwards campaign strategy, what they've been doing is they've been holding a lot of their resources back. I think that their philosophy has been pretty much that they can put their effort into the Super Tuesday states, South Carolina, Florida, and they can charge there. The problem is that post-Iowa, Edwards' numbers should be jumping up in those states, and they're not. I'd always thought that Super Tuesday would be the place where Edwards would come through, be the candidate that finally had some momentum and won the Democratic nomination. He's got now another 2 weeks to bring those numbers up. I still expect to see those numbers come up, but they've got to come up a lot for Edwards to have a chance, because if Obama wins New Hampshire, suddenly he has all of the momentum. It's going to be hard for anyone, Edwards or Clinton, to overtake him and win the Democratic nomination. But Edwards is someone who has experience running since he was Kerry's VP nominee last time around, and that can really play into his advantage if he can build on being a Southern man in those Southern states. It's really key on that.
Mm-hmm. On the Republican side, what about Mike Huckabee? He, you know, scored a huge win in Iowa. And now he's not even, you know, he's not considered top tier anyway in New Hampshire.
Yeah, he's languishing in third, and some polls he's as low as fifth behind Rudy Giuliani and even Ron Paul. But you know, Huckabee, being from Arkansas, he's going to be a little bit closer to Midwestern values for Iowa. He put all of his eggs in the Iowa basket. He followed the Jimmy Carter model. Is let's see if we can blow up in Iowa and if that momentum will carry us further. The problem is that New Hampshire voters, very, very different than Iowa voters, and they're not responding to the Huckabee message the way that Iowa voters did. So Huckabee can basically use the momentum of Iowa to write off New Hampshire, because you look at Michigan, which is coming up next Tuesday, and he is neck and neck with native son Mitt Romney, and he's pretty strong in South Carolina as well. So as improbable as it is, Huckabee is now in the top tier of Republican candidates, mm-hmm. which should tell you that this Republican race is as wide open as it could possibly be. It's like the 92 Democrats all over again. It is wide open.
Yeah, and Huckabee was on Late Night with David Letterman last night, and he said, if I win New Hampshire, it's because I did this show. If I lose New Hampshire, it's because I did this show.
That's a great line, and Huckabee has made a name for himself in going out on the trail and giving some really fire-em-up kind of speeches and also being very, very funny. What's interesting is the Politico.com had a piece on about a week ago, and Huckabee, not having an active political job, has still been going out while on the campaign trail and giving speeches for money. He'll go to churches, he'll go to civic organizations. He charges about a $25,000 fee because he is such a gifted speaker, but it's a tradition among presidential candidates that you sort of back off of giving speeches for money, and you go out and you give speeches, well, for money. It's just a case of where the check is written to. Is it your campaign account or is it your personal account? He's getting these personal account checks in for his speeches, but those speeches are in demand.
Yeah. Back to the phones, Laverne and Bonduelle. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good show.
Well,
I vote for Obama.
And how come?
Because I think he's the only man out there making sense right now.
Yeah, what's he saying that's making sense?
Well, he's got some down-to-earth mm-hmm. ideas, and we got to get our country back.
Yeah. Well, Obama's sure caught on fire, hasn't he, Professor Rackaway?
That's right. Mm-hmm. What separates Obama out from everybody else in the field is that there is a message of overwhelming positivity in there. You look at his book, The Audacity of Hope, having those positive buzzwords at a time when the nation is struggling in many, many ways. We've got a two-front war that we're supporting. The economy looks like it is in trouble, and there's just this general attitude of decay among a lot of people. And Obama is the one candidate standing up and saying that the shining city on a hill is possible once again. So that's resonating with a whole lot of people. And that's part of the reason why I think he's charging, is that people are looking to be inspired at a time like this. And Obama is trying to inspire them. But what's interesting about your caller is that a lot of people are saying exactly the same thing about why they like Obama. They're not talking about his policy positions, and that's okay. I'm not mm-hmm. in any way being critical. What I'm saying is people are not so interested in Obama's politics as they are in his positivity.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many callers, and I have so many questions, but let me give the floor to Aaron in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, a couple of comments and a question mm-hmm. for your guest. First of all, I don't think that Hillary is going to do as well as was predicted. I was sold by the mass media that she was like the shoe-in for the candidate going in. And I think, personally, I saw the Democratic debate, the MySpace or whatever it was, on TV. I felt like when John Edwards and Obama teamed up against her, that I saw right there in front of the national TV the death of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Of course, you know, this is campaigns are chameleons, and that, especially at this level, they have a tendency to change with where they are, and it's a long ways to go yet. But I think that was a great upset for her.
Yeah,
I'm a conservative. I am still undecided. I am torn between John McCain and Huckabee. And I would like to ask your guest, what happened to Rudy Giuliani? He was number one all over the nation, number one. Where is he?
Yeah.
You know, is he still in the race? And I'll hang up.
Thank you for calling. Where is Rudy?
Rudy Giuliani is alive and well, and you might be forgiven for thinking that he is a retiree, because he's alive and well, and he's thriving in Boca Raton. He is leading in Florida, as a matter of fact, and he has decided that in what's kind of an odd decision, that he is going to appeal to Southern voters, and he has shifted a lot of his resources. When it was clear that he wasn't coming up in New Hampshire, he put his resources into South Carolina and Florida. And in Florida, it's paying off in spades. He is, by the polls that I look at, he is 5 points up on Huckabee, meaning he's outside the margin of error. It's pretty. I'm pretty confident that if Giuliani continues, he'll at least win Florida. So he is out there. But Huckabee's rise in Iowa was such a shock to everybody that he's been taking a lot of the attention away. That'll fade a little bit after New Hampshire. And then the caller's other question about Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen Senator Clinton and previously as First Lady Clinton have fits of temper before. The infamous, I'm not going to be sitting around at home baking cookies and interviewing 60 Minutes. When Bill was running for president back in 92. And if Howard Dean in 04 taught us anything, it is this. Keep your temper on the campaign trail, because it's going to be YouTubed and you're going to get beaten to death by it.
Yeah.
And Clinton's fits of temper really, really play poorly against her.
What about her almost crying yesterday, saying, you know, that this was very personal to her, and we only have about 30 seconds. Was that good or bad?
That's unpredictable. It's really, really hard to say whether that's going to be good or bad. First blush of it, really, really bad, because she shouldn't be having any wide swings of emotion on the campaign trail. She should be calm, measured. That's what's working for Obama. That's what's working for Huckabee. The emotional reaction, not nearly as good as she'd like it to be.
We'll continue. Yeah, we'll continue talking about the latest in the race for president after this news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, January the 8th. We're talking about the New Hampshire primary and the polling that is underway today in New Hampshire and where the presidential campaigns go from here. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are also giving you the opportunity to vote. If you were voting in the New Hampshire primary today, who would get your vote and why? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are talking about the changes in the face of the presidential race. Barack Obama way ahead in the polls in New Hampshire. John McCain ahead as well on the Republican side, talking about why this is and where the race goes from here. We received an email from Brian in Monona, who says, can we please discuss issues instead of the horse race or Hillary's tears? How about comparing the candidates' positions on immigration? Professor Chap Rackaway, I guess we're getting a lot of the information on the candidates' stands on issues, and we try to do that a lot on this program. But right now, I don't know if it's differences in positions on immigration that has Barack Obama ahead of Hillary Clinton, is it?
Well, I direct the emailer, who is making a good and fine point, mm-hmm. back to the comment that I made about the Obama campaign, is that if you look at some of the surveys that are done on candidate issue positions, one of the worst candidates in terms of voter recognition of their policy stances is the support of Barack Obama. And it's not because these are easily fooled people or uninformed individuals or because of Obama's weakness as a candidate. Rather, our president is this symbolic figure and not just a policy pencil pusher. People are looking for inspiration. They're looking for character. Those are valuable things to them in a presidential candidate, where they might not look so much at that stuff in a congressional candidate or someone who's running for governor of their state. And so it'd be great if everything were all about issues and so on. But when we give the voters issue positions, we give that in-depth kind of information, most people tend to tune it out. So we're focusing on the election results and these polls because we're trying to figure out from the other side, what is it about these candidates that people really respond to? Why is it people are voting? Because it's not issue positions.
Yeah. And if John McCain's position on immigration was so important, maybe he wouldn't be doing as well in New Hampshire either, because he has an unpopular position, especially on with at least conservative Republicans.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know, there are very few, actually, single-issue voters out there regardless. There are some, certainly, but there's a, you know, there's a collection of issues that are important to the typical voter. And so there's some things that people just have to sort of write off because they won't get 100% agreement all the time from the candidate with whom they're connected. And New Hampshire, McCain's position is not exactly popular, but New Hampshire is not experiencing a lot of the immigration issues that are hitting home in other places. So it's really not a top-tier issue for a lot of voters.
Yeah. More calls, Carrie in Augusta. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. I had two things. One, at the very beginning of the conversation this morning, your guest had mentioned that the polling, and I believe it's 8 major polls, but I may be totally incorrect on that. I know at least the Zogby was showing that the difference between Clinton and Obama was within the margin of error. And it's my understanding that it's beyond the margin of error, that it's a good 8 to 11 point difference. And I believe the margin of error is 4.5 or 5. Second of all, I did want to state that I am an Obama supporter. I believe that every now and again, somebody comes along who is the one. And we've seen it in our lifetime with, at least in my lifetime, with my parents' support of John F. Kennedy, with Martin Luther King. And I believe with all my heart that Barack Obama is the one. And my concern, I would go to the wall for this individual, and I do understand his issues. I'm an educator. I work in Madison. He's one of the first people who has said, we put our money in early childhood education. I know Clinton has said the same thing, but he understands some of the research points, and they all do. They're very similar, the Democratic candidates, on the issues. They really, really are. There's a few changes and alterations. But to have someone who is brilliant, who was a professor of constitutional law, who can articulate both orally and in writing, and who wants to unite people and wants to wants us to be his boss. My biggest concern for Barack Obama is his safety, and I pray for his safety. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Rackway.
One of the things that I think is so fascinating about Obama is the intensity of support that you get. This woman just made a very, very passionate appeal on behalf of Obama, while at the same time saying there's not a lot of policy differences between those Democratic candidates, which gets us back to the issues. If their policy positions are pretty similar, what makes a difference? Their outlook, their attitude. And she mentions John Kennedy, and you think about Ronald Reagan as well. And these are folks who really inspired us. They made us believe that higher callings were possible. Obama's tapped into that on a significant level, and if he can continue to ride that out, then it's conceivable to think he could win a nomination. Maybe he could be the next president. It's certainly it's a long shot, but it's looking more and more possible by the day. And I'll take issue with what the caller said in the first place about polls. And this is this morning, most updated that I have, the Suffolk WHDH poll, which was a two-day poll, 500 likely voters, has Obama at 35%, Hillary Clinton at 34%. So it's a 1% edge for Obama, but it's a 4.5% margin for error. So those numbers could flip-flop easily. The Opinion Dynamics poll has Obama's lead at 4% with a 5% margin of error, so that's within. And the Franklin Pierce College poll has them with Obama 34, Clinton 31, so that's a 3% swing in a 5% margin of error. So there's some polls, and if you're an Obama supporter, you're probably looking to something like the CNN WMUR poll that has Obama at 39, Clinton at 30 with a 4.5% margin of error. But there are too many polls that still have them within the margin of error for me to be completely convinced that Obama is going to take New Hampshire. Again, it could happen. Wouldn't be surprising that it happened, but it wouldn't be surprising if Clinton did pull this off anyways. We know with the exit poll sampling that's been done. We've had all kinds of problems. They had predicted Kerry as a winner in 2004. They had even predicted that Romney would win in Iowa, and of course Huckabee won this time around. So you got to take polls a little bit of a grain of salt there.
Yeah. How much of a must win is this for Hillary Clinton?
Joy, you always ask the tough question. It's close to it. It's close to a must win. If she finishes second, Obama's momentum is going to be nearly unstoppable. Hillary even pulled a lot of her resources from Iowa, shifting them to New Hampshire when Obama started surging there, figuring she can win New Hampshire and she can reclaim momentum. If Obama wins there, it's a real repudiation of Hillary Clinton in an area that should be strongly in favor of her anyways. So even a close second might get played in news reports as a big loss for her, and that's going to make fundraising all the more difficult. And it is so much about the money.
We're talking with Chapman Rackaway, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Fort Hays State University, about the New Hampshire presidential primary. Polling is underway in New Hampshire, and we're polling you this hour. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Who is your favorite running for president? And why? And what questions do you have? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 8th, coming up after 7. So, you thought Florida's 2000 presidential vote had problems? Well, coming up after the news, I'll talk with a guest who provides a chilling record of what has happened since, as hundreds of counties nationwide have invested in cutting-edge touchscreen voting technology. He questions whether we can count on these machines. Coming up after 7. We're talking politics this hour and the New Hampshire primary, which is today. The earliest results from the early voting villages in New Hampshire have given small leads in these small villages to Barack Obama and John McCain, the leaders in most of the polls in New Hampshire. Is that the way this is going to turn out? Where does this campaign for all of the candidates go from here? We welcome your thoughts and questions and your votes. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Paul in La Crosse is our next caller. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was looking at the news programs last night, and they're going through, pick your network, pick your station, and they were showing all of the candidates talking, and they had their hand-picked supporters that were on stage with them facing the cameras. Only the Obama people were upbeat. They were jumping up and down. They were enthusiastic. They were smiling and laughing. Everybody else, they're sitting there like they're waiting for a dental exam. And these are the hand-picked people. Obama talks to bigger crowds of people who can't get into his rallies than most of these people have inside the building.
Yeah, the overflow.
He talks to the overflow. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why you have to look at the trajectory of the candidates. The other guys have flattened out. He is still going up. That's why I think that the polls are, they say it's a snapshot in time, and for Obama, they keep getting better.
Yeah, it's a bummer if you're losing, isn't it, Professor Rackaway?
Oh, it sure is. There's nothing that succeeds like success. And Obama is feeling all of the benefits of that. Increased momentum, more positive media attention. It's easier to raise money. It's the cycle of goodness. But then you look at others, and they're struggling. Hillary Clinton's emotional outburst is probably a result of her great frustration, thinking that she should be the anointed one and having to actually go out and campaign. John Edwards, as much as I think Edwards is going to have a surge, he has struggled to raise money behind the Obama-Clinton juggernaut, and so he hasn't been able to spend the money, even in his targeted states, that he wants to, which is part of why he's still languishing back there in the polls. And you look at the Republican side of this, Romney's considerable fortune means that he doesn't have to really worry so much about fundraising as much as the others. That's why he's the leader in ad time, and that's what's keeping him there. Even a loss in New Hampshire will still keep him going, and because he has so much money that he can bank on. But if he didn't have that personal fortune, that loss in Iowa would be crippling.
Yeah. You know, Hillary Clinton has made some comments in recent days that the media have not been scrutinizing Barack Obama the way she has been scrutinized for, 25 years. Mm-hmm. Does she have a point or not?
Well, it's sort of hard to scrutinize 4 years in the Illinois legislature and 2 years in the U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. And that's been Hillary's main point in all of this, is he doesn't have the experience I do. And the American public are saying, we think we'd rather take inexperience in this case.
Yeah, that doesn't matter to people, it seems.
I'm sorry?
It doesn't matter to people, the experience factor.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to realize that politicians, at their core, want to give us what we want. Because if they do that, we vote for them. And the theme that we're getting from the American public is, make us feel good about America. Make us reminded of the potential that exists here.
Yeah.
Obama's picked up on that. Hillary, not so much.
Jack in Oak Creek, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, say I'm voting for Hillary Clinton because she's got a proven record for over 30-some years of actually implementing change, whether it's for children or workers or whoever. She has proven herself, and she's gone through hell with the Republican haters and their ugly a mean of machine of destruction. And Obama, as much as I like him and want to be idealistic, all he talks about is vagueness, vague hope. Hope for what? I want to hear specific change. What specific change? We're not hearing that. And apparently the naive American Democratic voters and independents are falling for vague terms of hope and change. And I disagree with your guest saying Hillary Clinton was the anointed one, a nice negative term. I never heard anything for the last few years where they were ever feeling anointed to become, she was feeling anointed to become the next president. Your guest shows a very strong bias.
Well, Professor Rackway, I'll let you defend yourself. I think that you're right, that a lot of the media coverage was that she was, her campaign was unstoppable, and that she was the inevitable nominee of the Democratic Party, and we're learning now that that's not exactly the case.
All I'll say is this, in a speech in 2005, she said as much. She said, I'm the only candidate, I'm the one that the Democrats should be supporting, when John Kerry was still thinking about running, and John Edwards was doing his exploratory committee. Hillary Clinton said, I'm the one, I'm your next nominee. So I think when you look at her record over these last couple of years, she's made it clear that she believes that she should be the nominee, and that with her name recognition, with her husband's 8 years of success in the presidency, she believed that she should get in and simply be handed the nomination. I'll stand by that one. That's not an evaluation of Hillary Clinton as an individual. That's my evaluation of Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Yeah, but Jack is saying what Hillary Clinton is saying, in that I have implemented change and I have fought for change. I don't just talk about change.
And she's got a strong record of it. Like he said, 30-plus years, as opposed to just a couple of years on the part of Obama. So, you know, there's some great strengths in Hillary Clinton as well.
Yeah. Ann and Decorah. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I would probably vote for Barack Obama. I'm seeing the magic I saw as a small girl with JFK. You look out at his crowds, and it's everybody. He's uniting the country. I think it's unfair that what I saw of Hillary Clinton becoming emotional because she loves her country, now having her in tears. And I think what we're really missing is Giuliani is under the radar at this point, and he should be getting scrutinized and at least vented, because you're going to see him show up on Tuesday, Super Tuesday, because I think the powers that be, which I don't think are Republican, want him in. Thank you much. Bye.
Well, all right. What about Super Tuesday? Super Duper Tuesday.
Yeah, Super Duper Tuesday. And I always feel the need to just run down the list.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Kansas Democrats, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Missouri, New Jersey, New Mexico Democrats, New York, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Utah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's February 5th. That's one-third of the delegates to the Democratic National Convention. And this is our key. If Obama keeps winning up to that point, then he can clinch the nomination on that day, because he's got the money and he's got the media attention. There's no way candidates can go to all of those states. They can't afford, just in a real sense, to put all of the effort in that they put into Iowa and New Hampshire. So it's going to be about the air war. It's going to be about campaign ads. It's going to be about direct mail pieces and robocalls and websites. And that can play into whichever candidate's hands has momentum. That's the strategy that your caller mentions, Giuliani. He is definitely going in that full force. That's where he's spent most of his resources, and we'll see if it pays off. It's risky. It's definitely risky, and I think that might be why he's not been vetted, is in these early polls. His numbers have been low, 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 because he hasn't focused much on New Hampshire, not much on Iowa. But he's down there in Florida, and he's in Alabama. Now I sound like Howard Dean. And he's in Alabama, and he's in South Carolina, and he's in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yarg.
What about, do you see any scenario where Wisconsin's February 19th primary could mean anything?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I believe it is it's a two-party. It's both your Democrat and Republican, right?
Right.
Much more likely to have an impact on the Republican side, because we've been spending a lot of time talking about Obama specifically and the Democrats generally. But this Republican field, Joy, is wide, wide open. And we could have this back and forth where we see Huckabee win a couple of states and Giuliani win a few states. McCain is surging. You could see Romney win a couple. And so this four-way fight, if no one comes out of Super Tuesday with a lot of momentum, then Wisconsin and the other states that have, or the other state that has a Republican primary that day, Washington, could start to play a big role in this. And I know we're starting to run low on time.
Yeah, in fact, we're out of time.
Say that what it's looking like now on the Republican side is if no one comes out with with a lot of momentum from Super Tuesday, there might be a situation where no candidate has a majority of the delegates for the GOP convention, and we could actually see a very interesting brokered Republican convention where it has to go multiple ballots this time around.
We will wait until then. Thanks very much for being with us, Chap Rockaway, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Fort Hays State University.